You needn't be a communist to care about your community.
Don't touch that, it's growing. Be careful, you guys.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
As mentioned before, as I was trawling through all my sources this morning, looking for a great project, I ran into an event being held by Splice Auckland, a group that I've been meaning to reach out to for some time. So I decided to reach out and discuss what this event was. The event is the Active Citizen Annual Marketplace, which gives you a little bit more. But to give you more information, I have Gareth Farr from Splice. And so I started by asking what Splice is and what his role is there. Apologies in advance, the audio is a little grainy, but I think feel he has some important things to say and some really interesting things to say, so I hope you agree.
Organisation, a charity that works mainly in central city Auckland, but also a little further afield at different times of the year, and we call it a social infrastructure organisation. So if you think about the built environment, the physical infrastructure, there's billions of dollars being pumped into that in Auckland, especially at the moment, but there's very little money put into social infrastructure, which is the connections between people, so how to help people feel more of a sense of belonging in the city, to communicate across differences, so intercultural dialogue, and to just do positive activations and little activities that help with social cohesion and help people feel more a sense of place and a sense of ownership of quality of life in the city. An Active Citizens program is a program that's run in about 70 countries around the world. It's a British Council program specifically about social leadership and intercultural dialogue. So we've been running in Auckland for 2 years, and annually we run a marketplace which there's been about 200 participants through the program in the last 2 years, so a number of them have social actions or social enterprise or entrepreneurship that they will showcase for the December 12th annual marketplace. So people are welcome to come along and just see what some of the change makers in the city have been up to, and this year's focus is on cultural wisdom, so we're looking at different areas of social enterprise with wisdom and problem-solving ideas, positive interventions across different cultures. So that's the theme this year, December 12th.
What kind of projects do you expect to be seeing in the marketplace this year?
There's a lot of different things happening. There is, we'll be starting with a healing activation from Samara Alofa, who's a woman who does work around Kay Rose, cross-cultural work, I guess. An expression from her mixed Samoan, Polynesian and Pākehā heritages. So she'll be there. We have the Piki Toi artist crew, a crew of Māori, mainly men, Māori men who are ex-homeless who through the Likewise Housing First program are now also starting their own social enterprises, or been doing for a while actually. So they're carvers, they make ginger beer, they do a whole lot of different things in a little potty in Pitt Street, so they'll be there with a store. There is people like Serena Stevenson, who does a digital storytelling workshop, so she'll be weaving that into the afternoon. Shireen Chua, who is has a company called Third Culture, so she does intercultural work. She'll be weaving in some of that work to different people in the afternoon and evening. Sophie Proctor, who's a poet, who will be typing out little poems of kindness on a typewriter as you enter. There is Renu Sika, who is doing a thing called Our Stories on Plate, which is a group of women from migrant ethnic backgrounds who cook beautiful food. They'll be doing biryani mainly, Indian dish biryani, for this event, and they tell stories around the food. So that's going to be happening, and that's a number of the things that are coming on, but there's a lot of different things also I haven't really mentioned.
Most certainly. So When you say intercultural work, what does that mean? What does it mean for you, at least, or for Splice?
Intercultural work is just recognising that there's different ethnicities and cultures in the city. The culture itself could be based on ethnicity, or it could be based on belief structure, or it could just be communities, say, of interest, cultures of interest. So intercultural work is just recognising that we all have our own identities, which have been formed from our own personal beliefs, but also from societal perceptions, and to recognise your own identity and to perhaps let go of some things that are holding you back. Is part of intercultural dialogue. So if you can recognise your own identity and your own perceptions of self, then when you come across the other, someone who's different than you, then you also allow them that same space, so allow them open heart, open mind to discover slowly who they are, rather than putting perceptions on them immediately, because most of those perceptions are false and they come from, you know, generic societal programming or media programming, which says that so-and-so person is like this, and so when we meet them, we've already got that little bit of baggage, mental baggage. So intercultural dialogue has a whole lot of techniques and skills to allow you to, first of all, stand firm in your own shoes, but also to be able to view a person of difference just as an individual, and to allow yourself to discover who they are at their own pace. So it's much more positive way of dealing with other people and talking across difference and learning from different cultures, cultural wisdom, stories, all these ideas that are part of the fabric of a multicultural city like Auckland. You know, we need to recognise the fact that there's a monocultural privilege system in place, and a lot of the intercultural dialogue that we can use allows us to let other people bring their experience and wisdom to the table as well.
Do you think there's a lot of space within Tamaki Makaurau for these intercultural dialogues as it stands currently?
Well, I mean, I always say that actually there's millions of different transactions that happen every day, whether it's a smile or you're getting and buying a ticket from someone or whatever. There's brilliant opportunities to do this dialogue in the city millions of times every day, just from simple things. There's also obviously structural and, you know, longer term and more embedded aspects that we can delve into with this dialogue, but just from simple different transactions every day. I mean, you know, quite often in Auckland you may be dealing with, say, a person from Chinese extraction, but how often do we say xie xie, you know, which is a simple thank you in Chinese? How often do we say that? There's probably a million times every day that those transactions are happening, but we don't really get a chance to just express in different languages thanks, as a very simple example. So I think there's huge amounts of spaces and opportunities for intercultural dialogue.
Do you think by running things like the marketplace and creating spaces for more developed interactions like this, we kind of break down more of this intercultural privilege system that you're talking about before?
It's just definitely an opportunity for people to connect and share with each other. So I think anything like this helps. We specifically have an intercultural program, so we do go out of our way to provide a space for people to express their own cultural wisdom and their own form of social enterprise, which is, you know, we have a term called social enterprise, which is getting a lot of investment by the government over the last 5 years, but actually social enterprise itself has been happening, for instance, in Pacific communities for, I don't know, 100 years or generations upon generations. They just haven't termed it social enterprise, but community-led development, communities helping each other out, all these sorts of things have already been happening. So part of our role is to identify that and to uncover some of the cultural wisdom that's been embedded in these communities for a long time, and recognise that if we have terms like social enterprise in the government structure, through a structure, we need to fill in a whole lot of forms to apply for funding or to be categorised as a social enterprise. That is through the lens of a monocultural system, which is the Pākehā system. So that's not necessarily going to help us all in the long run. Actually, there's different ways of building consensus and different ways of doing things like social enterprise that we need to just sit back a little bit and allow some of the other cultures the space to say, well, actually, you can learn from us as well. So that's part of the role that we do. So, yeah, it's important work, I think.
Most definitely. How do you think those changes will be made? Or do you see any of those changes being made within the next 5 to 10 years?
I hope so. I mean, different leaders and different industries are pushing in different directions. I mean, even something like allowing the New Zealand history, the New Zealand wars to be taught in schools is something that, for me, is a very positive thing. I mean, I never got taught that when I went through school. So things like that, just being honest with the history of this country, allowing people to recognise it and sit with it and then decide, hey, I don't really want to be part of that, so I'm going to do positive things to help redress the balance within my own community and my own daily life. Those things are very important things to do. So I think there's a lot of potential in the future across things like education and different ways of, as I said, building consensus, in companies and boardrooms, things like that. There's different ways to make decisions and to record facts and things like that. There's a lot of things that are embedded, for instance, in Polynesian culture that we could learn from, about patience, about time, about flat hierarchies and consensus building, these sorts of things. So I see it as a very positive thing for Auckland. I think Auckland really needs to embrace it to become the international city that we talk about. You know, it really needs to embrace this a lot more across all aspects.
Most definitely. Do you have, say, three things for you at least that you'd like to see kind of be more embraced in those kind of settings? You mentioned that there are different perceptions of patience or time. Do you have any more details about those or examples of those?
That's quite a hard question. Three things. I don't really know. I guess, obviously we need to move beyond these ideas of diversity, because diversity is good, but if the decision-making and funds authority, the authority for decision-making, the authority for spending of budgets is still resting with the Pākehā structure, then this idea of diversity hasn't got us very far. It's just really a collecting of ideas, but it's not allowing the decision-making structure at the top to change. This is in culture and also in gender as well, obviously. So I'd like to see that change. What else? I guess, when we do these workshops, we really talk deeply. I mean, I even say things like, hey, linear time is a European concept, really, across the world. It's a European concept. There's actually cyclical time. There's actually different forms of time itself. So really, we can break down everything and talk about how it's culturally structured. So as far as making changes and possibilities, I think the possibilities are completely endless. It's just a matter of having conversations and being open-minded enough to allow different perspectives to enhance our own worldview.
And would I be right in saying that the marketplace is open to the public?
It is open to public, yes. It's for both past participants, alumni, their family and friends, and then also interested public. So if anyone can come along, it's from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the 12th of December, 65 Great North Road. So yeah, just come along, pop in and have a little look if you want. There'll be certain things to buy. There'll be a little bit of food going around. There'll be some performances. We've got Lavani Wasasi playing congas and percussion through most of the afternoon and evening. He's a good sort of vibe setter. And there's lots of other things going on. So yeah, just definitely come along.
I can't reach the potatoes.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
I'm going to name this one Cynthia.
Go forth and prosper.